Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is not about politics, but prophecy. I sometimes do commentary on biblical prophecy because the theme of God and Country Radio is God's work in the nations. And prophecy is all about the future of the nations. And the reason for this program is that I've been somewhat concerned over the rise of false prophets in the American church, even worldwide. Teachers and speakers in Christian circles who are deceiving the saints with their speculations, their so-called prophetic utterances, their supposed revealing of prophetic secrets and mysteries. But before I explain what's happening, I want us to consider Matthew 24, 24 through 26. Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, he's in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or 'Behold, he is in the inner room,' do not believe them." Matthew 24 is the key prophetic text where Jesus explains to his disciples what will happen in the future. The disciples ask the question, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Then Jesus proceeds to answer those questions. And in Matthew 24, we're given an outline of the end times and signs to look for. And the basic message is this: after the gospel is preached to the whole world, Matthew 24, 14, and as the parallel text in Luke 21 states, after the times of the Gentiles are complete, then will come the great tribulation or the apocalypse. The details of the apocalypse are covered in the book of the Revelation. But in Matthew 24, of all the things Jesus could have said about the apocalypse, he warns the church not to follow false prophets. Okay, I can understand this. In the Revelation, it speaks about the rise of the Antichrist world leader and another man called the false prophet. And the false prophet will perform signs by which he will deceive those who have received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. Revelation 19:20. But the false prophets Jesus refers to in Matthew 24 include some who are prophesying to the church about the time and the place of Jesus' arrival. So if they say to you, "Behold, he's in the wilderness," do not go out. Or, "Behold, he's in the inner room," do not believe them. Now, who would say such a thing? That Jesus is in the wilderness or Jesus is in a certain city? It seems as if these false prophets are not secular, but they're operating in the context of believers. They're giving false hope and false direction to God's people. They're even playing on the desire that God's people have for the soon coming of Christ. I've always wondered about the meaning of Matthew 24:26. Apparently, it's telling us that in the last days, there will be false prophets appearing in the Christian church, professing to be prophetic preachers, but they'll be deluded. It's not just the false prophet and the Antichrist that Christians need to beware of, but the explosion of false teachers in the church who prophesy about the location and the timing and the coming of Christ. Besides, it's in the church that Satan does his best work. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15. "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." So, Matthew 24, 26 may be shedding some light on the last day prophetic movement that is sweeping through the religious crowd in America. one prominent self-proclaimed so-called Christian prophet has been saying that the Lord told him that God will raise up thousands of new prophets in the last days to spread the message of the coming of Christ throughout the world. Now, I'm not saying we are in the Great Tribulation, nor am I saying that we're seeing in certain religious circles the false prophets mentioned in Matthew 24:26. But in every apostasy, there are always first adopters or prefigures of what is to come, forewarnings. And this new prophetic movement, also linked to the new apostolic movement, along with many last day forecasters, should not be embraced as legitimate simply because it's in the Christian context and these people are talking about Jesus. To me, their message sounds way too similar to Matthew 24. Those who will come and say, "Behold, he is in the wilderness," or "Behold, he's in the inner room." So we should be very wary. God does not lightly put up with individuals who profess to have a word from the Lord when it's nothing but their own imagination and their own speculation. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 2. "Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing." Then in verse 9, "So my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel." Now, biblically, whenever God's people have gone through times of trial or through times of prophetic significance, false teachers have come out of the woodwork. Yes, when Israel was sent into exile in 602 BC, there was the prophet Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. But there were far more false prophets taking advantage of the situation. When Jerusalem collapsed in 70 AD, it was a time of prophetic fulfillment. But false prophets were everywhere predicting the return of the Messiah. Expect to see the same in the rebuilding of Jerusalem. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote that in 70 AD, many impostors persuaded the people to follow them into the desert, promising them signs and wonders from God. One prophet persuaded 6,000 to go to the Temple Mount, saying that the Lord was about to arrive. All 6,000 died in the Roman siege and the burning of the temple. In Acts 21:38, we read about the Egyptian who stirred up a revolt and led 4,000 men of the Zealots out into the wilderness. So all I'm saying is this: just because there is a surge of self-proclaimed last-day prophets in the church, that doesn't mean it's of God, even if we are entering into the last days. In fact, if we are entering into the last days, we should be prepared for a surge of false prophets, clever, deceptive false prophets in the church. And these new forecasters and false prophets are saying that they are the prophets of the Lord for the church in the last days. They are claiming that they are the ones spoken of in Daniel chapter 11, verse 33, those who have insight among the people to give understanding to the many. I just read one prophetic letter that stated that these prophetic preachers are to share knowledge to allow Christians to closely follow the prophetic path of the tribulation. Well, maybe that day will come. I read about two and only two prophets to arise during the tribulation, Revelation 11. But I believe we should be more wary of the false prophets to come. You see, these new prophets may actually be fulfilling prophecy, but not in the way they think. They may be the movement that Jesus warned about in Matthew chapter 24, those who will come into the church with a message about the timing and the place of the second coming of Jesus Christ, But it's wrong. It's erroneous. It's speculative. It's misleading. Now, there is a spectrum or scale of false teachers. On the one end, you will have unsaved men, like Simon in Acts chapter 8, a man who called himself the great power of God. But he was lost. He had no part or portion in the kingdom of God or of the Holy Spirit. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you will have immature Christian leaders, those who are unlearned and unstable, and therefore they twist the scriptures. 2 Peter 3:16. I can be very tolerant and patient of pastors and Christian leaders who are misguided. I made many mistakes in my youth. I taught wrong things out of ignorance. Fortunately, I didn't have it published in any books. And that's a plug for not writing any books until you mature in the faith. But good Christians fall into theological pitfalls. Sometimes they fall into the snare of the devil, pride. The attention they get from their followers goes to their head, and they come to believe that they're the next prophet of God. One well-known end-time prophetic writer had his picture on a major Christian charismatic magazine. Under his picture was the caption, "The End-Time Prophet to America." I wonder if some of these men secretly wish that they're in line to become one of the two prophets mentioned in the book of the Revelation. An old-time seminary professor of mine once said, "If the devil doesn't freeze you out, he will set your tail on fire." In other words, if he can't get you to be worldly and apathetic, he will make you think that you're the greatest preacher prophet since John the Baptist. I have run into revivalist preachers who believe that they're the only true preachers in America. I have run into prophetic teachers who believe that nobody else has found in the Bible the mysteries that they have found. Christian teachers can fall into theological pitfalls. Remember Horatio Spafford? He lost his children in a shipwreck in 1873, and he wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." But Spafford also taught that there was no hell, and he believed that he received visions from God. He formed a religious group that believed that their shaking and their fainting were gifts of the Holy Spirit. They claimed that they could perform miracles, raise the dead. Spafford was actually accused of financial corruption. He eventually left America to form a colony in Jerusalem to wait upon the Lord's return. But this also helped him flee from his creditors. He was heavily into supernatural visions and prophecies, was deep into setting dates for the Lord's return. So here's an example of a Christian preacher, and I hope to see him in heaven, who wasn't of sound mind. One block short of a full load. Or as they say, the elevator didn't go all the way to the top. Or the lights were on, but nobody was home. I'm only making light of this as a polite reminder that there are unstable, unlearned Christians. And it's to be expected. The Bible speaks about supporting the weak. But the problem is when other naive Christians give these deluded Christian teachers leadership in the Christian community. Here's an example of Christian naivety. The boy who came back from heaven. Remember that popular Christian book put out by Tyndale House in 2010? It also became a movie. Over 1 million copies of the book were sold. This little boy, Alex, the son of a Christian counselor, was in an automobile accident. And he claimed he went to heaven and met Jesus and other people. And I heard many people saying about the book that this is proof that there's a heaven. Those of us who are skeptical, myself included, looked like we were faithless. Looked like we were the doubting Thomases. But just recently, this boy, Alex, admits that it was all fabricated. And I believe that his father had something to do with making up the story. Alex's father and his mother are now divorced. And it's very telling that the mother said that when Alex told a pastor that the book was made up, The pastor told him that the publication was a blessing to people and he should stay quiet. Which is exactly what is happening when you doubt or critique last-time prophets. Even Christians will say, don't criticize these men because at least they're getting Christians interested in the second coming, or at least they're calling people to repentance. But no, fraud is fraud. And I expect the devil to include 90% truth to sell 10% lies. So today's program is just to warn the church that in the last days, there will be an avalanche of kooky, last-time preachers. They're not to be followed. They are also part of the last day apostasy. It will not just be secular, it will be religious. And even though these men sound religious, and it sounds like they're full of faith, they're charlatans. Well, let me conclude with some brief details concerning these last day prophets and what to look for. Many are claiming to be new apostles, and it's called a fivefold ministry. From Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes that the church is given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So there you have a list of five offices. And the teaching is this: you don't have a complete ministry unless you're under an apostle. An apostle is above a pastor in that he gives you a word of the Lord. And I've run into the followers of these apostles who tell me that their apostle tells them where to travel, where to live, who to marry. And the answer to this error is that we do have a fivefold ministry. The Apostle John, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul still speak and lead the church through their New Testament letters. Jude 17, we are to remember the words spoken by the apostles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, we are built upon a foundation of apostles and prophets. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, the wall of the heavenly city has 12 foundation stones, and on them are the 12 names of the 12 apostles. Only 12. Then you can add to this the New Testament warnings in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. Also 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as the apostles of Christ. So I believe the Bible discourages us from looking for more apostles. And if these new apostles were apostolic in their behavior and their doctrine, maybe it would be something to consider. But too often, they are everything the apostles were not. Now, second, there are many who are claiming to be last-day prophets. Now, God's people in the Old Testament expected a prophet before the coming of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, the final paragraph in the Old Testament, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. In the book of the Revelation, the church is told to expect two future prophets. But apart from that, we should be very suspicious of those who claim to be prophets. They may be Bible teachers. They may be prophets in the sense that they prophesy by speaking the Bible. But prophets in the sense of new revelation? I don't see it happening. When you put these new prophets to the test, as it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, you don't see the character of biblical prophets. All you see is typical worldly mentalists like the amazing Kreskin. Finally, the other type of last day prophets include those who find hidden prophecies in Scripture. Now, Jesus made it very clear before his ascension in Acts chapter 1 that it's not for you to know the times or the seasons of his return. That means not only the exact date, but the season or the period of time. In Christ's first coming, it was totally different. The prophecy in Daniel told God's people exactly when Jesus would arrive. In the days of the fourth kingdom, Rome, and 483 years after the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And by this, the people would be able to identify the Messiah. But in the New Testament, there is no need for a day to clarify who Jesus is when he comes. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And the New Testament gives the church different instruction concerning the coming of Jesus. You will not know the time or the season. But still, there are prophetic teachers in the church who are all about predicting the time and the season. That the four blood moons we're having in 2014 and 2015 at the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles is a sign of the end of the age. And the latest fad is the mystery of the Shemitah, the sabbatical rest every 7 years. So that every 7 years, we are to expect a major world event. In 2001, there was 9/11. In 2008, the financial meltdown. And in 2015, who knows? Some people are already saying it's the collapse of oil prices, which, by the way, is not a disaster. Well, first of all, none of the New Testament writers taught that the sabbatical rest was a pattern that God was going to continue in the New Testament. In fact, most of the significant events in Israel's prophetic history did not happen in any chronological pattern, such as the calling of Abraham, or the entrance into Egypt, or the building of the temple. But now in the New Testament, we read that the old covenant has been taken away. It's obsolete. It has disappeared. Paul even rebukes New Testament believers in Galatians 4:10. How is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. There is no text in the New Testament that urge believers to look for 7-year patterns concerning world events. In fact, it's discouraged. And by the way, Christian discernment ministries have actually looked at the so-called pattern of the Shemitah in history and found that there really is no 7-year pattern to big world events. The data has been cherry-picked to fit the theory. So here's a takeaway. In the last days, expect the church to have problems with kooky preachers, so-called important prophetic voices, boasting to be prophets, but wrong. We tend not to expect these false prophets to be coming from within Christian circles, but that will be the source. Acts chapter 20, verse 30, from your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. I am all for prophecy. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who heed the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. But we should all be concerned that believers do not get bamboozled by last day prophets. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. You can listen to this program again or other programs at godandcountryradio.org. There you can download this program or request it by email, and we will send you a free CD. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about the Word of God through this ministry. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, as we anticipate your return, help us to not be led astray by those who would use our longing for your return to make merchandise of us, to exalt and enrich themselves. Help your church to communicate a unified message against the false prophets, while at the same time, help us to be blessed by the reading and the heeding of the things which are written in the Revelation. For the time is near. In the name of our Savior, we ask. Amen.